Get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up, you're gonna hear some amazing stories. I'm gonna take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. Guess what, friends? On a recent interview with Emma, she shared a story about how Hayden came to know Christ in her small group and ended up going to India with Emma, and how Hayden is about to be baptized. Well, on today's show, it's my highest honor to introduce you to Hayden. That's right, she's here to share her story with you. Hayden was born in North Carolina. She's still in high school, so she's not yet married. She attends Green Hope High School and worships at Hope Community Church. Now, don't judge her, but Hayden loves horror movies. Hayden, welcome to Missions Change My Life podcast.
Hi.
How are you doing, Hayden?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, this is not the first time your name has been mentioned on Missions Change My Life.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Several of your classmates have already told us all about Hayden. And we have Justin with us as well here. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hayden.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
So we are actually recording this from our separate locations. Thank God for technology. But we are in a total lockdown in North Carolina and most of the USA because of the COVID-19 coronavirus, that pandemic that is really making the world a messy place at the moment, unfortunately. How are you handling this?
I've been very bored these past couple of weeks, but I think it's been beneficial to me because I've actually taken a lot of time to kind of like spend more time with Jesus.
Okay, that's good.
When I've had school going on and stuff, it's kind of been hard to like get the time in there, except for on Sundays when I went to church because I had like school and then practice and then work. So I think having these couple weeks off has been a curse and a blessing because I have been bored most of the time, but I have had more time spent with Jesus. So that's been good.
So I'm sure our audience can tell you're not a senior adult. So how old are you? What year are you in high school?
I'm 17 years old and I'm a junior in high school.
Junior. The classmates that have mentioned you and their stories are seniors, and they're sad that even their graduation celebrations are jeopardized at the moment.
And things.
So as a junior, what would you be doing during this time of the year that you're not going to get to, like prom and anything that's really making life sad for you as a junior?
Probably prom. Okay. Because it's my first prom, so
yeah.
That's sad. But I still have next year, so that's good. I think also junior year is typically the year that you prepare for college and like applications. And not being in school is going to make that harder to like talk to my counselor and get that stuff straight. So I think that's one of the hardest things too.
Sure. Yeah, I can only imagine the difficulty that that's going to be. You are on staff at Cary Gymnastics?
Yes,
I am. Okay, and I assume that's closed as well, right?
Yes,
so that's
closed.
A change of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That has been. I usually only work there once a week because I used to be a nanny, but my nanny job also stopped because of the virus. But working at Cary School of Gymnastics was probably my favorite thing in the world because I get to hang out with kids and I love kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just been hard not seeing the kids.
Yeah. So we're gonna get to your story about how missions has changed your life, but you just said
that Carrie Gymnastics is probably your favorite, but I also know that you have a great love for horror movies. So which one's your favorite? You rather watch a horror movie or be over at Carrie Gymnastics?
I think I'd rather be at Carrie Gymnastics, but
yeah, that's the right answer right now when we have social isolation and we can't be with each other. That's understandable. But horror movies, that's an interesting fun fact about Hayden. So what is one of your all-time favorite horror movies?
I think one of my all-time favorites is probably, if you've seen Us or heard of Us.
Uh-huh.
I think that
it's creepy.
Creepy, yeah. More thriller, but I definitely like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because I don't know, it's something about having the feeling of kind of getting scared, but also knowing that like you're not actually going to get part of the movie, you're just watching it.
Yeah. So apparently, you don't get traumatized by watching horror movies. Yeah.
I do good. Very good movies. Yeah.
Yeah. I love horror movies as well.
And I think it's because I know the Lord is watching over me. Uh-huh. So I know what
you're about. Yeah. If you're able to see it as a form of entertainment and time pass, then cool. But if it's going to haunt you 4 hours later, 4 days later, a month later, and mess with your brain, then you need to avoid that. Let's dive in and get to know Hayden.
Right. Yeah. Show us about you and your family and your high school life.
So I have two brothers, an older brother who is a senior and a younger brother who is a sophomore. So we're sophomore, junior, senior, 15, 17, 18. So we're all very close in age.
Mm-hmm. My, weren't your parents busy during that season?
I know.
No, actually, that's a good spread of age groups there. So well done in the family planning side of life.
And I live with both my parents, and I'm very, very close with my brothers. They're like my best. I love to play sports with them. They're both into hockey, so they do that all the time. And we all play lacrosse together.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all in school lacrosse.
You hang right in there with them?
Yeah,
like one of the boys, or do they beat you up? You go home crying.
They used to when I was little, but now that we're more mature, it's more like I fit in, so it's good.
You let them have it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And I go to Green Hope High School, and I'm a junior. Like I said before, I'm not really into. I'm more or my biggest subject in school right now is probably chemistry. Which is weird for me because I'm not really into science. Mm-hmm. But this year I started chemistry and found that I really liked it. So not thinking about doing something with that, but I'm not sure.
You have any idea? Pharmacy or?
I have no idea, but I really, really, for some reason, I really like the periodic table. Like just doing stuff with the periodic table, I think is really cool. Mm. I don't know. It's just a weird thing, but I like it.
Yeah. I would say that's very weird.
Yeah.
I'm teasing. No, that's awesome. God give you a niche passion like that.
Yeah.
Tell us about your trip to India. You've been to India how many times?
I've been once.
One time.
One time.
Yeah. And you went, how long was your trip?
I was there for 8 days, but 2 days travel, so like 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last summer, we had a 3-week trip. We did three cities in 3 weeks, and you were on the team that came in for the first week and you cried all the way back that you didn't get to move to the second city with the team.
Yeah, I convinced my mom, but she wouldn't let me.
Yeah. And one of the unfortunate things about the coronavirus right now is just that we were planning on going. I think you were going to go 3 weeks this coming summer.
Yeah, planning on going 3 weeks, but now summer
ends. Yeah, and now all the travel suspended for the unforeseeable future. Our hearts and prayers really go out to those suffering in India. It's a very nasty place at the moment for those that are impoverished already, and now they're displaced and starving and far away from any sense of home. So we're praying for them.
Right.
But so how does that make you feel that you're not able to go this summer?
Very, very disappointing. Know that God did this for a reason, that he has a bigger plan, but it's really just hard to see it that way, because when I went last year, it was just like, it was an amazing experience and I was so excited to experience it again. And just the feeling that I have when I'm there is something that I don't feel any time of the year unless I'm there. And it's just, it's disappointing. You know, I'm really sad about it. And but there's always a fear. So now maybe when the virus is gone, I can go. So yeah. I'm hopeful about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was your first mission trip?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
So that was your first mission trip?
Like, yes, that first mission trip that I've ever been on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you got to go to India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm so happy that I went there.
So what was the funniest story that you ever experienced in during the mission trip in India?
I don't know. There were a few funny moments. The mm-hmm. people that we were with were very funny, like Teague, all yeah. his jokes. And I think Hunter was very funny too. I mean, everyone that trip was just so amazing. I hadn't really had any like personal experiences that were really funny, but I know that the girl that I was staying in the room with, we had in our room, our air conditioning was broken. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were sleeping, and in the middle of the night, we woke up and there was just water all over the floor from the air conditioning because it was dripping. Mm-hmm. So we had to go down to the front desk or call the front desk and ask them to come fix it. And the guy came up and he looked at it and he was like, okay, you can either leave it on and let it drip, or you can just leave it on, let it drip, put a bucket on, or just not have air conditioning. So we just had to get a bucket and keep the air conditioning on and let it drip. And then every day before we go to the orphanage, we would take the bucket of water, dump it out in the shower, and then bring it back and leave it there for the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just for our audience, this was not a roach motel. This was a very nice hotel. I don't mean five star. It was a 3-star hotel. Very medium. But yeah, that's just a reality in India that people just deal with drips by just putting a bucket under it.
Mm-hmm. And then, it's very nice.
Yeah, sometimes even the power would just go off sometimes like that, and you have to sleep in like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So back up and tell us about Hunter, because I think it's just interesting that you and Teague and the group from Raleigh, North Carolina knew each other, but you didn't know Hunter before then. And now you're saying that he was one of the highlights as far as, you know, just being funny. And that is so true. It's cool to see teams come together in India from various places. So what was that like to just meet somebody for the very first time in India, another American, and then end up with such a good friendship?
Hunter, from the beginning, he was just very, like, he had like a brotherly, like a relationship between us, and mm-hmm. always mess with me. Like, he would like unzip my backpack while I wasn't looking, and then like I would just not notice for a while.
Yeah.
On the bus, he would like sing songs, and like he would have a speaker and we'd all like sing along. And he was just very like kind-hearted. He always knew what to say. You know, if something wasn't right, he always knew what to do. He was just, I mean, it was crazy that I just met him that week and he was already one of like my favorite people.
Yeah.
And, like, in the you know. Yeah.
And the whole team would say that as well. Just made the trip very enjoyable. And that makes sense that you have such a great relationship with your brothers, and then that you and Hunter really hit it off as well. It mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So other than the AC, were there other major adjustments that you found yourself being confronted with while you were on the trip?
I think the biggest adjustment I had to make was probably the time change, which I think everyone can say they had to make.
Sure.
I would find myself, you know, going to sleep at like 7 o'clock and then waking up at like 3 a.m. and not being able to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. It changed throughout the trip. Like, I would go to sleep later and wake up like earlier. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, it was definitely like, you know, very hard to get used to. The other thing that I had trouble with was probably the like finding food for me to eat, because I'm very picky with my food. Mm-hmm. And while the food there is amazing and like we had great options from the orphanage and the hotel, I just like, I found myself, it was hard for me to find food that I wanted to eat myself.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, yeah. There's no Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
No Chipotle.
No.
Yet in India. But the food there is very delicious. And yeah, it can be a challenge for a high school student to figure out what on the menu actually equates to something that I like to eat. But it's there, and you found that. What did you end up finding to be your go-to food that you really enjoyed the most?
I like the rice. We had a lot of rice.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's think more than rice.
Oh yeah.
I don't want people to feel like we take our teams over, they pay $3,000 to go on a trip, and we just feed them rice all week.
I also, we had the And even the hotel served, honestly, was really good. I liked the hotel.
Yeah.
That was they had fries in the morning, which I thought was cool.
I know. On the breakfast buffet, because they knew that the Americans were going to come down and would want something that they're familiar with. So they put French fries on the buffet for the Americans. That was cool.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out?
They had this. When we had cereal in the morning for breakfast, mm-hmm. having like cow's milk, or at least when I asked for it, I don't think they had any.
Mm-hmm.
They did have these little smoothie things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what they're called, but I found a way to take the cereal and then put the smoothie into the cereal, so it's like a milk.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Yeah. So the smoothie is like a yogurt, just a liquid yogurt that you would drink, mm-hmm. and it's delicious. It is on the sweet side, so it probably made your cereal even sweeter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's get to the fun stuff.
Yeah. So what did you do like during the mission trip? Like hang out with the kids and. So can you tell us about that?
We went to the orphanages and we hung out with the kids and we played games with them and we did like games and we did worship time and we sung songs. I think my favorite part of all was probably doing the songs and the dances for the kids, because I stood up at the front near like the little girls and they would all like jump up and scream, and like every time I did a move they would like try and copy it, and it was just like they looked so happy the whole time and they were getting the words and they were jumping up and down dancing, and just seeing like how happy you could make them just made me happy. Mm-hmm. Like made me feel full. You're gonna hear my praises roar
up from the ashes. Hope will arise. And now imagine yourself on the foreign mission field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Come on now, I'm ready.
Okay, everyone, gather around. I have an exciting word from God to share with you today. Today's word is suffer. Now, we don't think of that word with excitement, but I want you to understand that Jesus looked at the cross with joy, even though it was going to be a place of suffering, because he knew what it would bring in the redemption of the world, in the salvation of for you and I. And so I want you to hear that word suffer as a word of privilege, as a word of opportunity, as a word of honor. Listen to this passage. 1 Peter 4, verse 19 says, "So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you." I want you to understand, none of us are going to choose to suffer, but we can allow suffering. None of us are going to desire to suffer, but we can accept suffering. And it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a prolonged period in our lives. We probably are not going to be in prison today. We're probably not going to be put in front of a firing squad for our faith today. We're probably not going to be rocked and stoned. We're probably not going to be beat up because of our faith today. But in smaller ways, perhaps we will suffer. There will be some that will suffer physically. In some way, it could be just the onset of a headache, or it could be the mission's belly of where the food did not set well on us. It could be that we're suffering because we're missing income because we went on a mission trip, and had we been at home, we would have been earning some income. Maybe our loved ones are suffering as a result of us being here. There is still that reality of suffering that shouldn't be minimized in our lives. And I want you to hear God's promise. It says, keep on doing what is right. It is right for you to be here today. It's right for you to go out in today's program. It's right for you to put your hands on the sick and pray for their healing. It's right for you to look the person in the eye that is going to pray to take Jesus only for salvation today, and to rejoice with them that their sins are forgiven. It is right for you to pass out Bibles. It is right for you to serve the least of these. He says, keep doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you. Now, you may not ever be put in a position where your very life has to be entrusted over to God. But in some way, even going on a mission trip is trusting your lives over to God. I don't want you to minimize that. You don't have to wait until a gun is held to your head to trust your life over to God. There are many ways, steps of obedience where we have to trust our lives over to God. But hear this promise, for He will never fail you. He will never be in debt to any man. He will never fail us. If we follow Him, He will take care of us. And so endure suffering today. See it as an opportunity to worship, an opportunity to praise God, as an opportunity to put your trust in Him. Obviously, God forbid you suffer today. We're not trying to bring suffering onto ourselves, but we are hearing the promise that when it happens, even when we don't choose it, we can rest in those moments knowing that He has promised that He will never fail us. Receive that promise. Hear it ring true in your mind and in your heart, in your ears as we go out today. Are you ready? Ready, set, go.
Global Hope India empowers the church in India through multiple channels. One of the most influential methods has proven to be sending individuals on short-term trips to India. During your 10 days in India, you will make a difference, be the hands and feet of Jesus, and see the lives of Indian internationals transformed by the gospel. We have opportunities in children's ministry, women's ministry, job training, medical missions, and more. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to make an impact, India is the place, and GHI is the opportunity. See our trips at globalhopeindia.org/go.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Selling to Give. They align their profession of serving clients buying or selling a home with their passion to impact and transform lives. They donate the first fruit of every home sold through their Selling to Give Foundation to support local and global ministries. We salute David and Amanda Williams from Selling to Give for their generosity and gospel impact. Check out their website at sellingtogive.com.
How has God used mission to change your life?
So before I went on a mission trip, I was grateful for what I had, but I hadn't realized the things. I hadn't had a sense of like what I had. I wasn't like feeling blessed about it and stuff. I mean, I was feeling blessed about it, but I wasn't as grateful as I should have been. And after going on the mission trip, I realized that there's so many things I have that I take for granted. Mm-hmm. And sometimes true joy doesn't come from the things you have, but it comes from, you know, God and people around you.
Preach it, sister.
Yay, go, go.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just like seeing the people in India, it not only like changed my heart, it changed my mindset. Mm-hmm. And it honestly made me closer to God because it made me want to appreciate the things that I had more. Mm-hmm. And I felt almost guilty for having the things that I did have. And then seeing all these people that didn't have the things that I had. Mm-hmm. And it just made me, you know, try to be more conscious of being grateful.
Yeah. And you know that that's real when Hayden's mom, the very next time she saw me, said, Hayden has changed. So what were some of the things that you noticed different when you got back as far as just your attitude about things? I mean, you think your complaint level went down a little or?
Definitely, yes.
Definitely.
I think one of the things that changed like most about me was all I wanted to do after that was talk about God and talk like the way He changed my life. And all my friends would be like, oh, why are you always talking about it? And I would just be like, I love it. I love talking about it. I'm so passionate about this now. I thought about India every since I left India that day. I thought about it every single day. Mm-hmm. And it just popped in my mind. And the first thing I think about when I wake up, I'm like, oh, India, you know, the kids, the people, you know, everything about it. I just, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. I want our audience to just appreciate John 3:16, because we read it, we memorize it. It's all through ingrained in our walk with the Lord, for God so loved the world. But when you get out of your world and you go into someone else's world, God just gets so much bigger. And so what I've experienced what you're saying, Hayden, it's like when you come back, it's like the love of God for the people of India, you just can't get that off your mind. It impacts your prayers now, and it impacts your worship. And so that's just so cool. Anything else you want to share about that?
I think my friends and my family are getting a little annoyed because all I talk about now is India. Every time something reminds me of that, I bring it up. Everyone's like, oh, India.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep annoying people, because exactly. God loves the entire world, and India is a part of that.
Yes. Right. Okay. So can you describe your trip experience in just in one word, like what it will be?
I think if I had to explain the trip in one word, mm-hmm. I'd have to say that it was rewarding.
Good
because
word.
It is mm-hmm. an experience that not a lot of people get to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, it was very, you know, it just gave me a different feeling. It's very beneficial to me as a person. So I would have to say that it's rewarding, definitely. Yeah.
You know, 50% of Americans have a passport, and 30% mm-hmm. have gone out of the U.S. But when you take Canada and Mexico out of the mix, very few, I think less than 10% have actually gone over to Europe. And when you get down, drilled down to India, less than 1% of all Americans have ever been to India. And yet you and I and Justin, everyone, the 1,000 travelers that have gone with us know that it is so rewarding to go and just to see what you're describing there. Mm-hmm. What else comes to mind as far as the word reward?
I think it was also just, I mean, it was amazing, but there's no other word to describe it for me except for life-changing, rewarding, amazing, just being there. It's something you really can't describe, honestly, because it's so like, the feeling that you get when you're there is something like that you've never felt before. I mean, for me at least, it's like a breath of fresh air almost.
Mm-hmm.
Because seeing God there is different than the way we see God in America.
Mm-hmm.
But just like when I go there, like seeing the way God worked in those people's lives is very different from seeing the way God worked in people's lives in America.
Yeah. And so let's just have a moment of reality here, because it's not like our teams go to a sandal resort and then 2 hours we just leave our cushy little resort and go over to an orphanage and we take some pictures with some orphans and then we go back and we are on the water slide all day. That is not the mission trip at all. It's not that we are in a camper in a tent without running water or anything like that. We are in a hotel because our partners don't have housing for the teams to stay in. But we are on the go from after breakfast until later at night when we come back, and it's hot and it's dusty and it's crowded and the food isn't what we're normally used to eating, and everything about it is just sensory overload, and it can be extremely overwhelming. But what you're describing is how rewarding it is, and it's not that it wasn't the absence of discomfort, because it was. I mean, you even have a dripping air conditioner in your room there into a bucket. Just be raw for a moment. What were some of the discomforts that you remember from the trip?
I think one of the discomforts was meeting the people in the orphanage for the first time, because you don't really know how to react, because you've never been in this situation before.
Yeah. Now you're the foreigner.
Yeah. And just knowing what to, like, I didn't know what to say a lot. And they're very welcoming when you go there. To be worried about, but I didn't know that, so I thought that I would have to, like, you know, immediately start praying over someone, or immediately like start having a conversation with someone, or immediately doing this. But it was a lot different than that. But that was probably the most like uncomfortable experience. Just like first getting there and having to meet those people, knowing what they've been through and what you haven't. Also, the leper colony was also very uncomfortable at first, because it's a thing, you know, meeting new people. Also, I don't do well with seeing people that are ill, Mm-hmm. And it just hurts my heart, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was very hard, I think. And yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now let's flip that and go back to what you were saying about the reward. What about the trip really became a reward in the midst of discomfort? What shined through as gifts from God to reward you?
Definitely the happiness I saw. The faces of the kids when we were with them, mm-hmm. just like knowing that they were happy that we were there and just being with them and them just like having fun. I love that the kids had fun. I love that they learned stuff from us and they took what we told them, like the gospel bracelets. I love that they took that and they learned something from it. I love that they appreciated that we were there and they didn't see us as like these Americans that had everything. They saw us as like friends and family. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So even like most of the people, we saw videos and like even in movies or even in the YouTube, like about the India mission trip, about a lot of things, but you know, we can hear it. We never been there, but we always see in our own eyes. But once you go there physically, like you go there in India and you step down there and you move it, like, you know, doesn't matter whether you're tired or whether what the conditions that the weather looks like and it's so hot, but you don't care about anything, but you just like, you know, I'm serving like mm-hmm. to clarify your name. And so like you tried our best and you changed your life out there and you changed many children's lives. Yeah, just like, you know, those are in such a young age, it's just incredible. So you mm-hmm. have done a great job. Like, and so I would love to ask you like how your mission trip experience changed your everyday life after you come back from the mission trip.
I think after coming back from the mission trip, what has changed in my everyday life is that I try to spend more time with God. Before the mission trip, I wasn't super close in my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And during the mission trip, I actually grew closer with him. And mm-hmm. I had moments there where I just felt his presence. And, you know, that really changed the way I thought about Christianity and how I realized how important it was for me to actually be super involved with it. So now that I've gotten back, every day since, I think I've prayed at least once during the day about something, you know, prayer requests, stuff like that. I've done more Bible study, you know, devotional stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's beautiful. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We are so proud of you, Jane.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do you remember any of the spiritual moments that you have with children, with the adults, as far as praying for them, really having an opportunity to give a witness and to lead them to Christ? What were you able, or what did you experience?
I think one of the biggest moments I experienced, or one of the most memorable ones, was when we were at Raj's home. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jenny, she had her guitar and she would sing and everything. Mm-hmm. And music is a big part of who I am. And I love singing. And I think that sharing the word of God through song is one of the most beautiful things that you can do. So I always reach the emotion through song. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were all outside of Roger's home, outside of the church, just hanging out by, like, everyone was singing in a circle. And Jenny had a guitar and she had a song that she wanted to sing, but she wanted the kids to understand it. So she translated it into Telugu. Mm. And she started playing it. And all of these kids gathered around her and they were all just sitting there watching her sing. And it was just a beautiful moment. And I remember feeling like this like joy coming over me and just like, I feel like I almost wanted to cry, mm-hmm. but like tears of joy, you know? Mm-hmm, and right. it was amazing. The kids, mm-hmm. The way that they just like sat there and like watched her and they were like, they looked like they were in awe. Like that was just amazing. You know, knowing that they could feel God's presence through her and that, you know, we could all sit there and like be together.
All right. So how you will tell, like how you encourage someone to considering going to a mission trip to India?
I definitely would encourage someone to go to a mission trip to India, mm-hmm. definitely because it's a place that not a lot of people get to go in their lifetime. And people usually go to places like Haiti, Africa, which are amazing. You know, those are amazing places to go. Mm-hmm. But I feel like India is very special mm-hmm. because it's an experience that not a lot of people get to experience. You know, the teams that go are like teams of like 10 or 15, not that big. It's just like the bonds you create with the people you go with and the bonds you create with the people there are something so special. Right. And I would encourage anyone to go because mm-hmm. it is truly just the best experience you will ever experience in your life.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Well, I'd love for you to just close out our episode here with just a brief prayer. Earlier, you mentioned that your word is for reward, and I don't think there's anyone on the planet that doesn't want God's blessings. And
yes.
So often, you know, we start the new year or various times, we're like, God, bless me, or even right now in the midst of coronavirus. And yeah, we can't go and book a mission trip to India today, but it will happen again in the near future. But one of the ways God answers that prayer is to say, okay, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna reward you by taking you on an international mission trip. And we think, well, that doesn't sound like a new car, or that doesn't sound like a new outfit, you know, or a vacation. I could think of other ways to be rewarded. I'd love for you just to pray reward over people, that they would receive the reward of mission trip.
Dear God, I would like to thank you for allowing me to grow in a relationship with you over these past few years, and I pray that it will continue to grow. I would like to thank you for letting me experience the stories I shared here today. And I pray that what I said can inspire others to go on mission trips, share the word of God, and just experience the reward that I got to experience, that everyone that has gone has got to experience. I would like to thank you for organizations such as GHI that helped me change my life, and for the people that I traveled to India with, and just for the people I met in India and everyone there. I'm so thankful for having been given the opportunity to go, and I wish that everyone would be able to go. I would also like to pray for the state of the world right now, with everything going on in the virus. I pray that everyone listening right now stays safe and healthy. And I pray for India right now as they also go through this virus, and that everyone in India and the orphanages is also safe and healthy. I would like to pray for healing during this time, and that we can use this time or this quarantine to spend more time with you, God. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for happiness, for peace, and for unconditional love. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I heard a rumor that you were scheduled to be baptized before the shutdown happened.
Yes,
and so
I was.
Now that's being delayed. But congratulations. That's a big step of faith and a bold witness.
Yeah.
And so I hope I can be there to see you come up out of the water. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah. God bless you so much.
So excited for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story. It's priceless. And may God use it in millions and millions of lives around the world.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Hayden.
Thank you.
God bless you.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/missions and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.